supposedly tonight's the biggest basketball game of the year. So Golden State and Cleveland come, and the two great stars will be facing off for the championship. And there's all kinds of followers, right, for this game. For myself, I'm not really an NBA fan, but I'm a follower in the sense that during the playoffs, I pay attention to who's in the playoffs. I read the paper and see who won. And when it gets to the finals, I might read a couple articles. I won't watch any games, right? But I'm kind of following. Then there's people who are fans, right? And there's all different levels of fans, but fans are much more in. They're invested. And they're affected in whether the team wins or loses, right? And they put resources and make some commitment to the game or to a particular team. I would say, like, with the Shockers, like the Shocker basketball, I'm still on the level of a follower. I'm a closer follower than I would be for the NBA. So I pay attention to the Shockers pretty much all season. I may watch one or two games. I read the news. I'm aware somewhat of who's on the team. But I wouldn't call myself like a fan. I'm not heavily invested. It doesn't ruin my day if they don't happen to win. And I want them to win, and I have the shirt, okay? But there's distinctions, right? And we know what the fans look like. They kind of order and organize their day around maybe the game, right? What's going on? They're affected. They're talking about it. They're thinking about it. Well, Jesus does something similar. A couple weeks ago, we heard about Jesus coming and healing or bringing back to life this child of a widow in Nain. And he came, and there was a great crowd following him, right, and his disciples. So Luke makes a distinction between the crowd and the disciples, right? Well, today in the gospel, what do we hear again? Jesus is addressing his followers, and he says, who does the crowd say that I am? And so what are people saying? People who are interested, they're following, right, to some degree. What do they say? Well, John the Baptist, right, a prophet, something somewhat special. He's captured their interest, and they're following. And then he moves, and he does what? He says, who do you say that I am? He says this to his disciples. So here you have the contrast and the distinction between being a member of the crowd, those who are following Jesus, right, and being a disciple as a follower of Jesus. It goes from being something out there and about Jesus to something personal. Who do you say that I am? What does this mean for you? And so when it really comes down to it, the call, the challenge, is to move from being a member of the crowd to being a disciple. So all of us are followers, but not all of us are on the level of disciples. And this is what's cool, I think, and what's cool that's happening in Blessed Sacrament is that this parish priority plan, the theme for it is come follow me, right? And that's Jesus' invitation to do what? To be a disciple. Jesus' invitation to those in the gospel to be a close follower. So that's what our whole parish priority plan is about. Moving from the crowd to discipleship and to ever deeper discipleship. And who's the model for this? Well, Mary and the Annunciation. That's going to be our image. And we're having a replica of the Annunciation commission. And it's going to be, when it ever gets here, it's going to be placed in this wall here. It's Tanner's depiction of the Annunciation. It's very beautiful. As a reminder, because what St. John Paul II says is that Mary at the Annunciation was the first, before the apostles even, to hear the words, come follow me. And so that's when she heard, and that's when she became the close follower of Jesus, the intimate follower of Jesus. And so how is this going to come about? So we're focusing on what? Three priorities so that this might happen in a full measure in our parish. Living the new evangelization, cultivating the spiritual life, and enhancing the Sunday Mass experience. They're all geared and ordered towards becoming disciples. Now, you know, Bishop Olmsted used to say that there's three groups of people in the church. There's those who do nothing, right? And there's that are doing something, and those who are all in. So disciples, crowd, and basically no interest at all. He says, don't focus on those who are doing nothing because they're not in motion. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. So focus on those who have some movement going on, right? Interesting. I think we still have a call to reach out to everyone, but I think there's some wisdom and prudence here. So when we're talking about our parish priority plan of moving and inviting people to this deeper spiritual life, to truly become disciples of the Lord, to hear that question to us directly, who do you say that I am, John? Right? Who do you say that I am? Who am I for you? Well, it begins with the new evangelization. And evangelization, right at the beginning, evangelization is about a proclamation of the good news. So evangelization can be understood as the initial proclamation of the gospel. So someone who's not heard it, ever heard of Jesus, right? Or has not heard it in an attractive or appealing way. So that's evangelization at the beginning. But what Pope Francis and St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI have talked about is that actually this evangelization extends and is much broader than just initially proclaiming Christ to people who haven't heard it. Pope Francis says that he wants every person to have a personal encounter with the Lord, or at least an openness to it, every day. And so what he is saying is that really, we need to be evangelized every single day. We need to fall in love again, each and every day. And that's what's, evangelization then is really what starts the fire. But starting the fire is not enough. What do you have to do? You have to feed the fire, or the fire is going to go out. So that's, if a church just focuses on evangelization, it's not going to last for all that long. Because, yeah, you get the fire going, but it's never sustained. So what sustains the fire of this discipleship? That's where we have our second priority, which is cultivating the spiritual life. Having a life of prayer. So living a relationship with God where we're organizing our day and scheduling time for prayer and meditation, thinking about the things of God, learning more about our faith. And what that does, that commitment each and every day, is it stokes that fire, keeps that fire going on, right? Now, we don't end there. As Catholics, we believe what? Christ's greatest gift is his complete offering to us in the Eucharist. And we do that as coming together. So our spiritual life doesn't culminate by my personal relationship with Jesus. It culminates at the Mass. That's the Father's greatest gift to Jesus. He's giving himself to us. And we live that out and glorify God as church, as the people of God. Our third priority is enhancing the Sunday Mass experience, right? Okay, when you think about enhancing the Sunday Mass experience, you're thinking about maybe, or often people think about the externals, like, you know, you got to improve music. Those priests got to preach better, right? Got to work with the lectors. Got to, you know, servers. Perfecting the ritual. But you know what? That's important, but that's not really going to enhance the Sunday Mass experience for people. You know what's going to enhance the Sunday Mass experience for people? Is cultivating the spiritual life. If you have a spiritual life, an interior life, a life of intimate prayer that you're fostering each and every day, you'll come to Mass and get it no matter how bad the preacher is, right? No matter how bad the music is. I'm not giving reason like to say that we should be settled with badness. I think all of this is done well, but of course we're going to try to improve and do better. But it really comes to cultivating the spiritual life. And you're not going to be interested in a deeper commitment to the spiritual life, a real life of prayer where you're setting serious time aside each day for prayer, unless you're evangelized, unless there's a fire of love burning in your heart, right? And that fire's got to be kind of reignited and fed every single day. If we focus, okay, our ultimate goal, Blessed Sacrament, on the Mass and enhancing the Sunday Mass experience by perfecting every part of this ritual, all the different, you know, organs that go into celebrating the Mass, and we don't have a spiritual life? Well, basically, doing all the ritual well and having somebody that could preach well, the music, without a spiritual life, the Mass is really entertainment. That's all the Mass is. It's only with the spiritual life, and then these things, other things come together, that we can, we all unite as one, as church, and can give true and pleasing worship to God. So it comes down to making disciples. Come follow me. Each one of us are being asked, every single one of us are being invited to this. And we have to be evangelized. We have to fall in love with the Lord. We have to do that every single day. We have to cultivate that spiritual life. And that spiritual life wants to find full expression and culmination in the Mass. Then we become disciples. And as our stewardship theme for the year says, once one becomes a disciple, stewardship is not an option.